Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Right now at noon, we're getting our first look at five special operations soldiers killed in a helicopter crash. Learn who they were and what happened next.
Plus, the story behind this tribute for a fallen fire captain that is happening right now all around the roads of the Triangle.
And the deadline is looming for Congress to avoid a government shutdown. How could it impact your holiday travel?
This noon hour, we are learning more about the five special ops soldiers killed during a training mission the day before Veterans Day. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. The U.S. Army Special Operations Command is headquartered at Fort Liberty, but none of the soldiers who died was based at Fort Liberty. Even so, we're hearing from the commanding general of the Army Special Operations Command at Fort Liberty.
WRL's Ken Smith is here with his statement and what we are learning about the service members and how they died. Ken.
Jeff and Renee, Fort Liberty is still feeling this loss, even though none of the soldiers, as you mentioned, was stationed on post. It's that connection that every soldier has with each other. Well, the Department of Defense is reporting today the soldiers died when the MH-60 Black Hawk crashed while conducting aerial refueling training. The soldiers were supporting two aircraft carriers in the eastern Mediterranean region because of the Israeli-Hamas war. The helicopter and the soldiers were assigned to 1st Battalion, 160th Special Operations Aviation Regiment based at Fort Campbell, Kentucky. Well, here are the soldiers who died. Top left, Chief Warrant Officer 3, 38-year-old Stephen Dwyer. Next to him is Chief Warrant Officer 2, 34-year-old Shane Barnes. And 24-year-old Sergeant Cade Wolf. Bottom left, Staff Sergeant 26-year-old Tanner Groan. And lastly, 27-year-old Sergeant Andrew Southard. As we mentioned, the U.S. Special Operations Command is headquartered at Fort Liberty. In a statement, Lieutenant General Jonathan Bragger wrote, "We mourn the loss of these five incredible soldiers, each of them a national treasure. Our thoughts and prayers are with their families, their loved ones, and their fellow soldiers." Now, the DOD says there's no indication the crash was caused by hostile actions. Jeff.
All right, Ken, thanks for that update. North Carolina's lieutenant governor is on his way to Israel right now. A statement posted to social media this morning says he is traveling with North Carolina Faith and Freedom Coalition. Coming up in our next half hour, we will talk with WRO's Travis Fain about the purpose of this trip.
New this noon, a teenager is accused of shooting his older brother in Benson. The WRL breaking news tracker was at the scene all morning. Deputies spent more than 4 hours at the home. The teen's father told the Johnson County Sheriff's Office his younger son shot his 25-year-old brother, Tracy Davis. He was taken to Wake Med, where he died. The teen's name will not be released because of his age. Happening now, a somber procession of firefighters from Raleigh and Johnson County is making its way down I-40.
This procession is in honor of Captain Nathan Burgess, who lost his battle with cancer yesterday. WRO's Eric Miller is following this story for us today. Eric, quite the honor we see out there.
Jeff, it absolutely is. That procession started at Duke University Hospital. It passed us here at Lake Wheeler Road and I-40 just about 10 minutes ago, and it is still making its way down the road right now. I want to send you live up to Sky 5 hovering overhead. You can see that procession made up of Raleigh police officers as well as firefighters from Johnston County as well as Raleigh as well. Those are the two jurisdictions that Burgess served during his time with those fire departments. Now, according to his wife, Burgess was a firefighter, a lieutenant, a chief. Talking with firefighters out here, he was a burn instructor as well, and that means that he actually interacted with just about everybody in the entire department. Everyone knew him. They say he was a wonderful man. Now, Burgess's wife announced in the last couple of days a fundraiser, the Phoenix Project, hoping to raise funds to help reduce the risk firefighters across the country face from cancer. WRAL has been reporting on that risk for years, including the exposure to several cancer-causing toxins that firefighters face while on the job. Now, this procession is headed to the Brian Lee Funeral Home in Garner. It's expected to get there sometime around 12:30, 1 o'clock. Again, we'll be following along here with this tribute, bring you more details as we get there. Back to you.
Eric Miller live in Raleigh this noon with that meaningful procession there. Thank you, Eric.
Three North Carolina hospitals made a national list of the busiest emergency departments, and they're all in our area. Becker's Hospital Review gathered information from hospitals nationwide about their emergency visits in 2022. Wake Med here in Raleigh was eighth with more than 137,000 visits last year. Cape Fear Valley Medical Center ranked 16th with more than 124,000 ER visits. And ECU Medical Center in Greenville ranked 30th in the nation with nearly 110,000 visits. RDU has picked up another international flight. Aeromexico announced this morning it is adding a daily direct flight from RDU to Mexico City. The flights start July 1st. This is the third new international nonstop flight to begin service from RDU this year.
We are less than 4 months away from primary day here in North Carolina, and new polling of registered voters shows the biggest races on the ballot are likely going to be the closest. We are talking about the presidential race and the race for NC governor. WRO's Capitol Bureau Chief Laura Leslie is here with a look at those numbers. Laura.
Jeff, the Meredith poll sampled 755 registered voters in North Carolina just a couple of weeks ago at the beginning of the month, taking their opinions about the upcoming presidential and governor's races. The poll shows former President Donald Trump maintaining a commanding lead in the GOP primary. Among likely North Carolina Republican voters, 51% would vote for Trump in the primary, 14% for Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, and 9% for former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley. If the presidential election were held today, the poll found President Joe Biden would edge former President Donald Trump in North Carolina by just 1%. That's well within the confidence interval, so it's statistically it's a wash. Meredith College poll director David McLennan isn't surprised it's so close.
It's just the nature of North Carolina for the last almost 20 years. So even though it's kind of early to be doing a matchup poll like this, I think, again, we could see Biden winning by a point or two or Trump winning by a point or two quite easily.
Now, looking at North Carolina's governor's primaries, the poll found Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson is also maintaining a strong lead in the GOP race with 41% there. Businessman Bill Graham at 5% and State Treasurer Dale Falwell with 3%. But 42% of those voters say they're still undecided. And the Democratic primary, Attorney General Josh Stein, also a big lead over his challenger at 38% compared to 11% for former State Supreme Court Justice Mike Morgan. But again, the real winner on this one is the don't know. It's 44% of voters say they haven't yet decided. And if that gubernatorial election was held today, Stein would get 38% to Robinson's 36. Again, that's within the confidence interval, so it's basically a tie. We'll have more results and more insights from Professor McLennan coming up later this afternoon. Jeff.
And inside of 4 months, here we go. Laura Leslie live in Raleigh for us this noon. Laura, thank you.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, Marianne Trump Barry, who is the eldest sister of former President Donald Trump, has passed away. She was 86 years old. Barry was a former federal judge and prosecutor. She served on the Federal District Court of New Jersey in 1983. She was later nominated to the Third Court of Appeals in 1999, and she retired in 2019. Again, she was 86 years old.
Tim Scott is dropping out of the presidential race. The junior Republican senator from South Carolina has been struggling for months near the bottom of the polls. Scott has not endorsed any other Republican candidates.
The countdown to a government shutdown is on once again. Congress has until midnight Friday, and House Republicans say they have a plan. Sources say the House is expected to vote on it as early as tomorrow. New House Speaker Mike Johnson is going with a two-step plan. Under the strategy, some parts of the government would be funded until January and the rest until February. This type of plan has not been tested before. It does not include budget cuts or aid for Israel. A government shutdown could cause big travel headaches this Thanksgiving. In a new report out today, AAA predicts it will be one of the busiest holidays ever for people traveling. The White House is warning airline passengers a shutdown could mean long wait times and delays. The FAA would be forced to suspend hiring and close its training academy. That could spell problems, as there's already a shortage of air traffic controllers. They would be working without paychecks, as would TSA employees.
A road closure in Raleigh will change your commute near the Village District and NC State. A portion of Overland Road is now closed. We're talking specifically about the area between Pullen Road and Clark Avenue. That section of Overland Road will remain closed through November 20th for sewer and water improvements. Traffic will be detoured onto Woodburn Road and Enterprise Street.
As Israel's ground forces collect around Gaza, people around the world are calling for an end to the fighting. Next at noon, how some Triangle residents are making their voices heard tomorrow in our nation's capital.
Also, from a volcano comes an island, the new piece of land that surfaced in Japan.
Plus, reaching the tipping point, explaining the latest confusion about adding a tip. Elizabeth.
Beautiful sunshine out there, but temperatures are on the cool side. Right now we're in the 50s. I'll show you what normal feels like for this time of year and how long we'll see those normal temperatures.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
People from the Triangle plan to head to the National Mall in Washington, D.C. to take part in tomorrow's March for Israel. A bus will be departing from a Raleigh synagogue early tomorrow morning. And joining us now to talk about the significance of this march is Dr. Michael Ross, the president of the group Voice for Israel. Dr. Ross, we appreciate you joining us. First, the March for Israel is a chance for Americans to come together to show solidarity with the people of Israel. Talk about why it's important for people from the Triangle to be a part of this march.
I think people here, primarily Jewish people who support Israel, have been really appalled by what has happened in Israel, the atrocities that we saw 1 month ago. And we've really felt a sense of loneliness as we deal with this. We have family, many of us have family and friends there, and our many of our peers and friends here who aren't Jewish don't really understand what we're going through. It's been very painful. And it's important for us to be together, to give a message to ourselves, most of all, that we're not alone, and to the country, and to the government, that we care about Israel. I also really want to stress that we're not anti-Palestinian, but that Hamas is a terrorist organization that is a terrible scourge that is the enemy. It's the enemy of all civilization. And what they did was just barbaric and cannot stand. So we're hoping that in the end of the day, we look forward to a better life where all Palestinians and all Israelis can live in peace and security together. And that's really the message of what we want to send to the world.
And you're bringing that message to the nation's capital. Walk us through, what do you expect to take place during the march?
So there are going to be speakers, singers. It's interesting because I was on a preparation call. And normally when you go to a Jewish meeting like this, every Jewish group wants to advertise itself and promote itself. But in this case, it's not going to be the case. We're going to have real experts talking to us, telling us about the situation and bolstering our spirits. But mostly it's a coming together with like-minded people. And I'm really looking forward to it. I've been in contact with people from all over the country, are flying in, taking buses, dropping everything they have in their lives to be there. This is a big moment for the Jewish people in America.
And as you take your message to Washington, one quick question. Do you feel that the humanitarian crisis unfolding in Gaza, do you think that's eroding support for Israel in the war?
That's a very good question. And undoubtedly, it is. I just want to say no country has ever done what Israel is doing to try to not injure civilians. It's really remarkable. And Hamas is doing everything possible to promote civilian casualties. It's a strategy that cannot be allowed to work. So we hope that this war will end quickly and decisively, and that Gaza can be rebuilt. for the good of the people of Gaza.
And that's a hope for everyone. Dr. Michael Ross, we appreciate you sharing your perspective with us. And as that bus travels from Raleigh to the Capitol, we hope for safe travels. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you.
In the next few hours, we expect to learn the cause of a large fire that closed part of an interstate highway in California. A fire at a large storage yard shut down part of Interstate 10 in Los Angeles. Firefighters said two separate pallet yards were involved, covering a total of about 80,000 square feet. It's a lot of wood burning there. Several cars were also destroyed in the fire. So far, there is no estimated time for reopening that interstate.
Not a whole lot of movement on the Dow Jones Industrial Average. We are seeing a rally of 84 points at this hour. NASDAQ also in the red, actually. It's down 24 points, and S&P 500 just staying about even. A volcanic eruption in the Pacific added an island to the country of Japan. A Japanese Coast Guard flight shot this video of the new island this past weekend. It is so fresh, you can still see the steam rising from the ground. It's about a half mile south of a volcano there. Scientists say the mountain itself has also been rising because of volcanic activity. The eruption has stopped for now, but there's still a warning in place for any boats and planes traveling in the area.
Officials in Iceland have evacuated an entire village in anticipation of a possible volcanic eruption. There have been thousands of tremors in the southwest corner of the country in the past few weeks. This weekend, officials told an entire town to leave because the seismic activity suggests a volcano is coming. The Blue Lagoon has also closed to the public, and the geothermal power plant nearby is taking many precautions. We just don't have anything like that just happening here. I mean, you're talking about volcanoes and earthquakes in two different places right there. But sunshine and cool fall temperatures, normal here.
Yeah, our weather much calmer. No rumbling there. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRAL Severe Weather Center. Seasonal sunshine. It's hard to complain about this.
It is. You know, last week was really, really warm. I know some people liked it, but not everybody. So, you know, maybe with temperatures near normal, folks will be happy. We definitely need some rain, but I guess it's never perfect. This is a live look at Fayetteville as we take a look down Hay Street, looking absolutely beautiful with the blue sky and the leaves just starting to turn color there. 57 is our current temperature, dew point at 37, so it's very comfortable out. We'll see temperatures climbing into the mid-60s as we head through the afternoon. So near normal temperatures, which puts us at highs in the mid-60s. We do have a late week warm-up, looking at temperatures near or just above 70 by Thursday and Friday. That's when the next front arrives, and it will bring us our next best chance for rain. And we'll go over that, but we'll talk temperatures. Too. Right now it is 58 in Fayetteville, 57 Goldsboro, 56 in South Hill, 58 Southern Pines. Temperatures are pretty uniform. Everybody checking in the mid-50s to upper 50s, depending on exactly where you are. Headed for 64 for the high in Raleigh and in Durham, and 66 in Fayetteville with beautiful, bright sunshine. We have high pressure that's in control of weather in our area. High pressure systems have winds that rotate clockwise, and so that is drawing some cool air in. There's a front that's showing up on the map here, but notice there's no cloud cover or rain associated with it. What we will see is just a reinforcing shot of cool air. Our coolest day is likely to be Wednesday, so we get that extra shot of some cool air coming in at that point, but still not looking at anything that's terribly cold. Now, we take a look at our conditions compared to normal, and we do show up as blue, so that's typically a little bit below normal, but we do have some warmer temperatures that come in by the time we get to the weekend, and that actually could last farther into the week of Thanksgiving. We'll talk more about that in a second. Our normal high is 64, so we're right on that today and very close tomorrow, a little below on Wednesday. And then Thursday and Friday, we jump back up a bit to either side of 70 degrees. And of course, you see the 18th, the 22nd, the 18th is Saturday. And then on into the middle of the week before Thanksgiving, we're looking at the potential for above normal temperatures. Of course, we're also looking at the potential for some showers. We're looking at the chance of seeing some patchy rain that'll come through and potentially bring us some showers for late Friday into Saturday morning. We're going to walk through a different version of Futurecast coming up in just a few minutes. I'll show you that. Raleigh Christmas Parade, likely to have some rain overnight Friday. The big question is, how long will it last into Saturday? If we do still have some in the morning, it will be clearing. 59 degrees in the morning. Our broadcast starts at 9. The parade starts at 9:30. So we're looking at temperatures fairly mild in the upper 50s. But keep checking back. We're going to have a lot of runs of the computer model between now and Saturday. So keep checking back if you're planning to head out to the parade. More things happening on Saturday. Lots of tree lightings across the area. Both Fenton and Cary and North Hills and Raleigh will have tree lightings. 66 at 4 o'clock and at 8 o'clock 54. So comfortable temperatures and clearing skies for Saturday afternoon. Sunday looks pretty too with a high of 65 degrees. And again, we're going to walk through Friday night and Saturday on Futurecast coming up in just a few minutes.
Elizabeth, thanks. A patio project fell apart after a clash over the contract. Five on Your Side shows you where it went wrong and how to make a strong contract the next time you hire a contractor.
And WRL investigates two new planned nuclear plants in North Carolina. Tonight at 6, find out where they're going, the breakthrough technology involved, and what it'll mean to your bills. Well, still ahead this noon, a popular payment app has started refunding people who fall for so-called imposter scams. We'll explain that coming up.
And the first Swift Water Rescue Training Center on the East Coast opens in just a few hours. Find out where coming up. Zelle is now issuing refunds to scam victims and a heads up on finding cheap flights. Those are among today's business headlines with Sabile Marcellus.
Zelle has started to issue refunds for some imposter scams. The payments app has been reversing transfers for people tricked into sending money to imposters posing as a government agency or bank. Federal rules require banks to reimburse customers for payments made without their authorization, but they don't have to reimburse for payments customers themselves make. Issuing the refunds marks a big shift for the banks that own Zelle, and it comes as lawmakers begin to focus on imposter scams. You can find cheap airfares now as airlines look to fill seats. The airlines had 260 million empty seats to fill in the fourth quarter, according to data firm Cirium. That's 8% more than a year ago. Now, Southwest is one carrier offering low fares. It's been selling off-peak one-way domestic tickets for as low as $29. But holiday air travel is a completely different story. Airlines say demand is strong and cheap fares generally aren't available during the holidays. And those are your business headlines. I'm Sabile Marcellus at the NASDAQ market site.
The Marvel Universe hit a new low over the weekend with the launch of The Marvels. The movie opened with just $47 million at the box office. Critics were lukewarm on The Marvels, giving the movie 62% on Rotten Tomatoes. Audiences were more receptive with an 85% score.
When it comes to tipping, are Americans stingy or just confused? New data gives some insight. A new Pew Research poll says Americans are more confused than ever on tipping. Only a third of respondents say it's extremely or very easy to know how much and for which services. Touchscreen prompting, varying food service types, and changing rates over time all add to the confusion. The poll found 40% say they oppose the suggested tip amounts, while 57% of Americans say they tip 15% or less at a sit-down meal.
Tonight, Wake County leaders will look to the future and efforts to keep people who live here safe. What else to expect in the State of the County address? That's just ahead. And Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson is making his way to Israel. Ahead, WRL's Travis Fain looks at why he could be taking this trip. And here's a look at your winning NC Education Lottery numbers on your screen right now.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, often accused of making anti-Semitic posts to social media, traveled to Israel today. According to his office, he is there to show support for the Jewish people in the ongoing war with Hamas.
WRAL State Government reporter Travis Fain joins us now with some context to this. Travis, who's the Lieutenant Governor traveling with? How long is he expected to be there?
So the trip will last about 3 days, Robinson told us in a recent speech. It was planned before the October 7th terrorist attacks that triggered this ongoing war there. It would have been a longer and larger trip before then. Now it's a small group. It includes Robinson, his wife, private security. Lieutenant Governor described it as a political trip more than for tourism, though they do plan to visit holy sites in Jerusalem. The trip is organized by the North Carolina Faith and Freedom Coalition. That's a Christian political group with pretty deep ties to the right evangelical wing of the Republican Party.
And Travis, ever since the war started with Hamas, Robinson has repeatedly pledged solidarity with Israel. But he's had troubling things to say in the past about Jewish people. Walk us through some of his controversial comments.
So before he was elected lieutenant governor, which happened in 2020, he was a frequent social media poster. A lot of those posts engaged in conspiracy theory, sometimes involving Jewish people. When the Black Panther movie came out, he criticized Black people for celebrating a movie. And I'm going to quote here. Quote, created by an agnostic Jew and put to film by a satanic Marxist to pull the shekels out of Black people's pockets. Shekels, of course, being Israeli currency. When people have expressed concerns about a rise in white supremacy beliefs and Nazism, Robinson has consistently flipped that to say, hey, communism is a much bigger problem. Some see that. And some of the other things he said is Holocaust denial. When talking about the Holocaust back in 2017, Robinson put the phrase 6 million Jews, an estimate of the number of people, Jewish people murdered in the Holocaust, in, you know, air quotes. Now that he's running for governor, Robinson is working hard to put these things behind him, obviously, and to be seen as pro-Israel.
All right, Travis, thanks for that update. So appreciate that information coming out of that trip, certainly. The humanitarian crisis in Gaza is growing as Israeli forces try to root out Hamas terrorists in Gaza City. And this comes as rabbis across the U.S., including here in the Triangle, are traveling to Israel to provide support and healing. Three rabbis from the Triangle are on their way to Israel to volunteer, visit soldiers, and support families in areas hit hardest. Rabbi Eric Solomon of Beth Meir Synagogue spoke with WRAL before he left over the weekend, and he said despite some security concerns, he and the other rabbis need to help people who are suffering.
This is what we learn as clergy. When people are suffering, when they have lost or they're in mourning, you have to be with them. You have to pray with them. You have to hold their hand. You have to give them a hug. You have to be in their space.
The group plans to be in Israel for about 4 days, offering help in any way they can.
Our county-by-county coverage takes us to Orange, Cumberland, and Franklin counties. Crews from Orange County joined the efforts to control a fire at this old mill in Alamance County. The Graham Fire Department called in firefighters from surrounding communities when they responded to this warehouse fire. The city's mayor says the entire block around the mill was evacuated and electricity was turned off. No reports of any injuries so far. This is the second massive fire in just over a year at the same mill complex. In Cumberland County, officials will open the only indoor swift water rescue training facility on the East Coast today. It's operated by Fayetteville Technical Community College, and it released the sneak peek of the facility online. It has a 140,000-gallon pool designed to teach first responders how to act in hurricanes and floods at any hour of the day. The facility is off campus at the Cumberland County Industrial Park. What a resource. The ribbon cutting happens at 2, followed by training demonstrations. Franklin County officials are holding a forum tonight on expanding broadband service. Jeff Brooks from the State Department of Information Technology will speak about advances in Franklin County and will take questions after the presentation. The event is free and open to the public. It starts at 7 at Franklin Plaza in Lewisburg.
Wake County leaders are looking to the future as they lay out plans for the county, and the annual State of the County event is tonight. WRL's Laura Levine has a preview of some of the topics that will be addressed.
It is very fitting that this address is taking place here at PNC Arena. A few months ago, the Board of County Commissioners adopted the hospitality tax to help upgrade and renovate the arena. And it's things like this, the county's growth and economic development, that the board really wants to capitalize on as they look ahead to the future. The board chair tells me the county is growing at a fast rate, adding about 56 people a day. However, this comes with some challenges. She says county leaders must look at ways to address equitable growth. She tells me other priorities they plan to address is safety, homelessness, food security, jobs, education, and more. She says it's really about finding that secret sauce to help gel all municipalities to work better together.
We're going to talk about community safety. We're going to talk about food security. We know that grocery prices are going up and, you know, things like that. Farmland preservation is important to this board and to this area. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. We're going to talk about our youngest residents, and we're going to talk about three school a little bit. And of course, we're going to talk to Adrienne Cole, who's the CEO of the Raleigh Chamber. So we're going to talk about business and how our business partners have been instrumental in our growth.
And the new chair there tells me that Better Together is the theme for this year. She's going to be having a panel style discussion with Wake County's sheriff, as well as the Board of Education chair. So this address begins at 6 p.m. If you can't make it here in person, it'll also be live streamed. Lori Levine, WREL News in Raleigh.
It's a growing public health crisis among seniors, the concerning rates of addiction, and why family members are missing the red flags.
Celebrities tout them, TV commercials promote them. Wegovy and Ozempic are some of the hottest drugs right now. The new health benefit they may deliver in addition to weight loss. If you see news happening or you'd like to share a story idea with us, just click report it in the WRL News app. New weight loss drugs helping millions of people fight obesity also work against heart disease. Researchers found the active ingredient in Wegovy and Ozempic reduced the risk of heart attacks and strokes by 20%. Clinical trials focused on more than 17,000 obese adults 45 and older with pre-existing cardiovascular disease but not diabetic. Doctors say these recommendations are not for people who casually want to lose weight for a big event or something like that. And also to keep in mind, these drugs are expensive, about $1,300 a month, and most healthcare plans don't cover them. Addiction is on the rise among older adults. A CDC report says alcohol-induced deaths in the over 50 crowd have been increasing for more than a decade now. Federal estimates say in 2021, nearly 13.5 million Americans 50 or older had a substance abuse disorder. And the CDC says drug overdose-induced deaths in people 65 and over have more than tripled in the last two decades. Experts say family members often confuse symptoms of substance abuse with the signs of aging. And those who do see the addiction are likely to rationalize it as how an older generation copes with their stress.
The FAA is taking a closer look at the mental health of pilots. The agency says it will create a new committee to help encourage pilots to report their mental health issues. This comes on the heels of an off-duty Alaska Airlines pilot trying to stop a plane engine mid-flight because he said he was having a nervous breakdown. Pilots are already required to undergo medical exams and to report mental health conditions.
Sweet news for strawberry lovers. New research suggests the berries could play a role in lowering the risk of dementia. Researchers at the University of Cincinnati tracked 30 patients. Those who ate a cup of strawberries a day had a significant drop in depression symptoms, and they are planning additional research into those findings.
Two recalls to tell you about for parents. A type of nightgown may be putting children at risk of being burned. The recall is for more than 13,000 nightgowns sold by iMoons. Three Z's on the end. They were sold on Amazon from March through June. Federal officials say the nightgowns failed to meet flammability standards. If your child has one of these nightgowns, stop wearing it, and you should contact the company for a refund. And for pet owners, a brand of pet food might be threatening your furry friend with salmonella. Mid-America Pet Food is recalling several brands, including Victor Super Premium Dog and Cat Food, Wayne Feeds Dog and Cat Food, Eagle Mountain Pet Food, and some Member's Mark varieties. The CDC says these foods are linked to at least seven cases of salmonella since November 1st. Humans who handled the food or touched saliva of pets that ate the food may also be at risk. The CDC recommends throwing the food away and cleaning any surfaces that might have touched it.
The Bull City wants to give entrepreneurs a boost. Next at noon, find out how you can get free advice on starting a business. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is back with a look ahead to help you prepare for what the weather throws at us this week. The Triangle is on all sorts of lists of great places to start a business. Now the city of Durham wants to help entrepreneurs make their dreams a reality with the Bull City Business Summit. Joining us now to talk about it is Durham Mayor Elaine O'Neill. Mayor, thank you so much for joining us. First of its kind program here. What is the main goal of this summit?
Practical advice on how to get started. For those who have dreams of becoming a business owner, you know, there are steps to that. And so we would like to be able to provide some practical advice and ideas on how you get started, and hopefully start some connections that will go beyond the actual conference.
Yeah, from practical to best practices. I don't know, where did this idea originate? Does anybody else try to tackle business in this fashion or target a particular audience like this?
Well, you know, my background is as a judge, and so I've always had a heart for those who have had some involvement in the criminal justice system and their inability to find sometimes gainful employment as they transition into back into life. There are also other members of the community, such as our neighbors who are living with disabilities, who have some business skills that I think that we can enhance and help them to become business owners. And also some of our retiring seniors like myself, who will be looking to do some other things, maybe in corporate America. And I just thought it would be a good idea to focus in on those groups and invite everybody in. We also have a very good connection with the United States Small Business Administrator. I met Alan Thomas, who is that director. He has some connections to North Carolina, and we met at a mayor's conference not too long ago, and he said that he would love to be able to come back into our state. I think he's out of Greenville, specifically Durham, to kind of help us with some ideas. So his communications and marketing person also lives here in Durham. And so it was just like a really good time for us to come together and see if we can encourage our residents to take advantage of opportunities that we have here in Durham.
Yeah, building those relationships, making those connections, and taking them with them when they go after that. Folks can still register, right? Is there a website where they can go?
Yes, it is www.bullcitybiz.
Awesome.
So I also want to mention that we'll have some star power. We have Tamar Braxton, who will be appearing via Zoom at 1:30 on Friday with some advice for all of us and some encouragement. So we are hoping to get over 200 participants. I think we're now a little bit over 100. So we still have plenty of room for people to sign up and join us. And I hope to see everybody on Friday.
All Thursday. Right. I hope you get more folks in there as well. Mayor O'Neill, thank you so much for the time. The Bull City Business Summit, Thursday and Friday, Durham County Library on North Roxborough Road.
All right, it is 12:46. Let's get a check of our beautiful weather out there. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRAL Severe Weather Center. Blue skies everywhere you look.
So pretty out there. I mean, I can't seem to find a cloud in the sky anywhere. We take a look at Goldsboro, and I love this view of Durham. This is right outside of the DPAC, and these folks are out there kicking around a soccer ball, enjoying the lovely temperatures. We take a look at Chapel Hill, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant, and Apex, too, down Salem Street, looking absolutely beautiful right now. Here's a look at the big picture. We have high pressure that's sitting over us, and that is funneling in some cool air from the north. So temperatures this morning dropped down to freezing in a few places. It was anywhere from 5 to 15 degrees cooler than it was Sunday morning. So we've settled into some chilly mornings and some mild afternoons. We do have this front that's moving across parts of Kentucky and Tennessee. That's going to move through here and help to reinforce that shot of cooler air for Wednesday. Wednesday looks like it'll bring us the coolest high temperature. Let's take a look at Futurecast, too. We're going to check out Friday. We have another front that'll come through. This one's more likely to bring us some rain. However, it doesn't look like a ton of rain. This is Friday morning, and we're nice and clear. We end up with some cloudy skies by Friday evening, and then rain overnight and potentially into Friday morning, Saturday morning. This is 7 a.m. on Saturday morning. We're still looking at the chance of a little bit of light rain as late as 10 a.m. Of course, our broadcast for the Christmas parade on Saturday begins at 9, and the parade starts at 9:30. So there is a chance there's still a little bit of patchy light rain at that time, but we have so many versions of the computer models, new runs that'll come in between now and late Friday. Just keep checking back. Most likely, we will be tweaking that timeline at least a little bit. Temperature at parade time likely to be in the upper 50s, so feeling very pleasant, very comfortable. If there is any rain in the morning, it will be clearing, hopefully pretty early. But again, keep checking back for the timeline. The only rain we have in the next 5 days is going to be Friday night. It's a 30% chance, and again, may linger into early Saturday. This is a look at some of the amounts. They're in blue along the I-95 corridor, a half to three quarters of an inch, and then from Raleigh westward, about a quarter to a half an inch. We can use all the rain that we can get, but of course, that much rain is not going to really help get us
out of our drought situation. We take a look at our tropical outlooks. About a 60% chance that this develops. Right now, it looks like it would move across Cuba and potentially out to sea. It's one that we'll be watching because that would be its trajectory. But again, it's a 60% chance in the next 7 days. We check out those temperatures, mid-60s today and tomorrow. Wednesday will be the coolest day of the next seven, 61. Some 30-degree lows. The morning low Wednesday looking at 38. We don't necessarily have any other temperatures that are going to be that close to freezing in our forecast. We'll be watching for some overnight rain on Friday, clearing out on Saturday. And the weekend, for the most part, does look dry with some clearing Saturday and temperatures mainly in the mid to upper 60s.
Thanks, Elizabeth. The holiday gift for the person who has everything. Coming up, a new snack experience that could fit the bill.
As you wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today.
We are learning more about the five special ops soldiers killed during a training mission the day before Veterans Day. The U.S. Army Special Operations Command is headquartered at Fort Liberty. We've learned the soldiers who died were based at Fort Campbell in Kentucky. The Department of Defense says their MH-60 Black Hawk helicopter crashed while conducting aerial refueling training.
This morning, firefighters gathered to honor the life and legacy of one of their own. Firefighters from Wake and Johnston counties held a procession for Captain Nathan Burgess, who lost his battle with cancer yesterday. His wife announced a fundraiser in just the last few days. It aims to raise funds to help reduce the risk firefighters across the country face from cancer.
The countdown to a government shutdown is on once again. Congress has until midnight Friday. New House Speaker Mike Johnson is going with a two-step plan. Under the strategy, some parts of the government would be funded until January and the rest until February. This type of plan hasn't been tested before. It does not include budget cuts or aid for Israel.
A first-class menu from the Titanic sold for more than $100,000 this weekend. It details a first dinner served on board the ocean liner. Meal options included oysters, sirloin, and Victoria pudding. The menu is heavily water-stained, as you can see. Auction house Henry Aldridge & Son says it appears to be the only menu to survive the sinking of the ship.
All right, here's an idea for the person in your life who has everything, seemingly. How about Pringles with caviar? The chip maker partnered with the caviar company to create a gift boxed experience called the Crisps and Caviar Collection. Options include the Smoky Shores box, the Salt of the Sea box, or a flight of flavors. They come with white sturgeon or smoked trout roe caviar, cultured cream, and of course Pringles. Prices range from $49 to $140.
So do you want the white sturgeon or smoked trout roe caviar, Jeff? I don't know what to get you.
Anything. the one that seemingly has everything. Anything with a bit of a crunch to it is fine. Okay. So the Pringles will do.
A special light display in Japan is giving new meaning to recycling. Check this out. 380,000 bulbs in the trees along a river in Tokyo, all of them powered by used cooking oil. Organizers converted a generator to run on used cooking oil and gather gallons of it from nearby homes and restaurants. The display will be lit for 5 hours every night through January 8th, running on nothing but used oil. What a spectacle, though.
Makes good use of it, right?
Sure.
Today, we have a pair of pups as our pets of the day, Thelma and Louise. Thelma's a 30-pound beagle mix. Louise is a 22-pound beagle and Jack Russell Terrier mix. They are 3 years old. Their owner can't keep them any longer.
Love Mutt's Rescue hopes to find one home that will take both girls. They are both smart, loving dogs who don't bark much and love walks in a fenced yard. To adopt Thelma and Louise, contact Love Mutt's Rescue. Their information is right there on your screen. And ask about the opportunity to foster to adopt for 2 weeks. Thelma and Louise, they are up for an adventure.
Yeah, well, you can't take Thelma without Louise, right?
That's right.
I wonder if they're as mischievous as their movie namesakes.
Or is there a JD, you know, the one that played Brad Pitt played?
There you go.
NBC News Daily is next on WORL. Your next local news update coming up in 30 minutes.
You can always get breaking news updates anytime with our WORL News app. Great Monday.
Keep watching WRAL News over the Air Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.